Father, I just take a moment as we open up your word. Lord God, again asking you that our hearts would be open. Again asking you, Lord God, to specifically speak to us not only corporately but individually. And Lord God, today there's a word for us. There's a word that we can apply to our hearts and our lives. And there's a word for us that can be encouragement. We already felt like we've been in the presence of the Lord even during our worship time today, Lord God, as we enter into your presence and desiring, Lord God, to lift up your name, we now ask the same as we go to your word, that you would speak directly to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses as 1 to 2. And Ephesians is one of my favorite books. And the reason that I like the book of Ephesians is we really can see how much God loves us, how important we are to God. In chapter 1, we look as believers, we're sealed with the approval of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the approval of God wanting to dwell within us and minister to us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my strength is a little bit short. Amen. Anybody else? Is anybody else besides not enough money in the week, but there's not also enough strength in the week to get us through the things that we're going through? And as we look through this and end up planting ourselves at the second chapter for a little bit, we see that the Apostle Paul is describing somebody that is spiritually dead, and the great cost that God has gone to make us spiritually alive. And my question to you this morning is, where are you at? Do you want the Lord to allow you to be spiritually alive and sensitive to the things of God, or are you spiritually dead in some things in yourself? And the Apostle Paul in these verses calls the church faithful. And sometimes we're not as faithful as we think. Sometimes he's calling on the church and calling them faithful. He offers up a prayer to them and offering up peace and grace. And he's always pointing them back to Jesus. Anybody besides me need to be pointed back to Jesus at times, because life just sends you in the wrong direction, and situations send you into a tailspin at times. And he reminds us in these passages that every spiritual blessing we have comes from the Lord. And a lot of times we don't remember that. We forget about that. We get wrapped up in the good things that God's doing in our lives. And then when we get a monkey wrench in there once in a while and things start to go south, we forget that everything that we have is from the Lord. Every blessing that we have is from the Lord. And every chance that we get, we should be lifting up the name of Jesus. And Jesus gives us this plan of redemption. Jesus gives us this work of grace through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins, and moves us into wanting us to have this relationship with us. He tells us that he's even desiring to give us wisdom and knowledge to know what to do when we're doing it and going through these things. He tells us that there's a mystery in the Word of God, and he says, you know what? Because my Spirit dwells within you, I'm going to show you some of those mysteries that are in the Word of God. I'm going to bring the truths of God into your life. And I want you to check this out. It's not our text, but it's kind of a pretext going in. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14 says this: "In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included." Get that? That's you this morning. "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of his salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." And I want you this morning not to race through this portion of Scripture. See, here's the great thing. We were in need of a Savior, and Jesus said yes to God, that I would be that one, I would be that Savior. Jesus says that he would work it out. Jesus says that he will be the redemption that we're needing. And he goes on to these verses then saying, we, the Jews, who were the first to believe and put their hope into Christ to lift up the name of Jesus, were excited and gracious and humble and proud to extend that plan of salvation to the Gentiles and felt a call that they were going to extend it out. Verse 13, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal in the promised Holy Spirit. Anybody else beside me this morning feel safe in the arms of Jesus when he wraps his Holy Spirit around us and in us and through us to provide for us? And you know, I want you to look at this and don't get hung up on some words. A lot of times people get hung up on predestined and chosen. And I want you to know that North American churches have a different meaning for these words than in the original Greek. And when I stop and think of it, we're Nazarenes. We don't believe in once saved, always saved, but we also don't want to wonder every day if we're saved. Amen? We don't want to wonder every day if we're good enough to make heaven. If you have to wonder every day if you made heaven, you're trying to do it on your works. Amen? God's giving us the grace and the mercy to let us know that he's working it out in our lives and that it would be not on our works but on his saving grace that we were saved and that we don't have to wonder every day if we're on our way to heaven as long as we're in that relationship with the Lord. Amen? So predestined in the Greek means pre-before. Let me give you a little bit of a lesson here. It means that God's prior decision was that his children would be adopted into the family of God through Christ. Both Jews and Gentiles would have an opportunity to be saved by the power of Christ on the cross. Paul's first readers may not understood that the way that we would on this side of the crosses. Amen? Understanding that it was God's decision that he wanted all saved. He wanted all to have an opportunity to come to Christ. And the word chosen means an inheritance. And most of the time when you start talking about redemption on a human plane and a human interest, it says, what must I do? Amen? Well, Christ did it for us. What must you do? Accept it. What must you do? Follow him. What must you do is be a believer. Paul wants to shift the focus from what must I do to God's plan that says both Jew and Gentiles, that all believers in Christ, those that have put their hope and their faith in Christ, will inherit the inheritance that Christ has for us. That ought to make us excited this morning. In Christ, we have chosen to inherit the inheritance intended for God's people. Paul prays for the saints of Ephesus and all the future believers. He is happy that they've been given the opportunity to be saved, to inherit the kingdom of God, to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be resurrected as Christ has been resurrected one day. He says the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ is the same power that dwells in you. Should we be doing something for the kingdom of God? Should we be so discouraged that we lose our step when we know that the same power that resurrected Jesus is the same power that God wants to work in our lives? Somebody ought to be happy this morning. Somebody ought to be excited. And as we move into Ephesians chapter 2, you can just sense that Paul is having this heartbeat for God's people, for believers, to move from spiritually dead or spiritually not where they need to be spiritually alive and moving into a direction closer in that relationship with God. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1, reading to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Somebody should say amen. Amen. That is exciting. He makes it clear that there is a distinction between spiritually alive, spiritually dead. He makes a distinction between who you were before Christ and who you are after you accept Christ. You were dead in your sins. Sins being offenses against God, things that go against the things of God. And then he goes on and talks about transgressions, those acts that go against a code of conduct that the Lord lays out for us. You used to be that way. Amen? You used to be that person, but now, since you came to Christ, you're moving towards a relationship with Christ and allowing Christ to take these things out of your life, allowing him to move upon. And when you stumble and you fall and you have those moments that you're getting up and you want him to get back into your life, you don't want to let go of him. You used to think of yourself more than the things of God. You used to think of more of the things of this world than of your Savior that wants to save you. You used to be that person. You used to be that one that was disobedient, rebellious. And then he goes on and he says, we were all there one time. So if you know, I'm a good person, I'm on my way to heaven. He kind of shoots it down in this verse and tells us we were all there. We were all on that path by our nature, by our own means. We were on that road, but because of God's grace and because of God's love for us, he made us alive in Christ and dead in our transgressions and moves us into a relationship. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect on this side of heaven, but we ought to be striving to be more like Christ. We ought to be striving to desire for God to do these wonderful things in our lives. And I look at this text and I see there's four kinds of people. Anywhere you get a crowd of a people, there's going to be four really basic types of people there. You're going to have unbelievers there. I know that every time I come to preach the word, that there is somewhere in some situation, there is an unbeliever that has never asked Jesus to be a part of their life, and that he's not the Lord of their life, and he doesn't have them as his Savior. And you may be curious, you may be one that comes to church, but as of yet, you have not made a decision for Christ. And the second type of person is a culture, what I call a cultural Christian. You know of Jesus. You know it's culturally acceptable to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you haven't pursued him. You haven't gone out and began seeking the things of God. You haven't gone out and wanted that kind of a relationship. Maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe you had a relationship at one time. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home, and some of these principles you have adapted into your life, but really you're just a cultural Christian because it's acceptable. And then the third type of person, I believe, is a casual Christian. That is a believer, though they may be babes in Christ, and they might have come to Christ 20 or 30 years ago, but in their actions, in the way they conduct themselves, they're really babes in Christ, and they're not willing yet to go deep into the things of God. You haven't committed your life over to Christ. You have not surrendered your life over to Christ, and you've gotten yourself wrapped up in so much of the world that you're not involved in church as much as you should. Your deep relationship with the Lord isn't where it needs to be. It's kind of like a casual friend. Anybody beside me know what I mean by a casual friend? You're going to see him. You're an acquaintance. You spend some time with him once in a while, but that's really not what the Lord's looking for when he's looking for a believer and a person to be in a relationship. He's not looking for a casual Christian. I often think of what would it be like if you were in a relationship of casually married. How would that treat you? You know what I'm saying? It really has to go to that extra mile. You're not where you need to be, and you need to be moving into a different relationship. And then, of course, the last one would be a committed Christian. Not perfect. The world all the time wants to point out and say, yeah, there's people that come on that Sunday morning and go into that building. They're not perfect because I've seen them Monday through Saturday. Well, we don't claim to be perfect, but we're in a relationship with the Lord, allowing the Lord to change us. We desire to be involved in the church. We desire to be with God's people. We're desiring for God to do these things in our life. We give of our resources, and our desire is to please God more than ourselves. Amen? So you have four different types of people that are always in the church, or always at a gathering, or always in your workplace. You have these kinds of people. And if you look at this passage again, it says this: as for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler and kingdom of this air. But the Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. He says, that used to be you. So my question is, has there been a change? Have you allowed God to make the changes in your life that are needed? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you seeking to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you desiring and open for God to do something fresh and new in your heart? If you're a casual Christian, are you willing to move into that deeper relationship with God, allowing him to be more committed in your relationship? See, real faith is going to be committed faith to the Lord. A real faith at times is going to be tested. Anybody been tested? Your faith is going to be tested. If it's not tested in life circumstances, it's going to be tested by people that when you say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I go to so-and-so church, I'm involved and love the Lord. As soon as you say that, there is always going to be someone that's wanting to test you to see what your panic button is, where to hit it. Your easy button. Real faith, according to the Word of God, will be one day rewarded. Amen? I stand on that. I stand on those promises. It may not be today, but it could be today. But even if it's not, we're promised that one day there is rewards for those that believe and have a committed relationship with Christ. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we are dead in transgressions. I think the first thing that we need to realize is that without Christ, we're hopeless. Without Christ, we're doomed sinners. But with Christ, we sang about it. We can have victory. We can have things changed in our lives. But God, that's a great way to begin that verse. But God in his overwhelming love for us takes us where we're at and moves us where we need to go. Amen? That's why we're all on such different journeys. And he takes us where we need to go. Although we were dead in sins, he makes us alive in Christ because of what he's done. And the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within us, allowing Christ into our lives, makes us aware of things that we stumble about. Amen? Wrong desires, wrong relationships, wrong choices. The Lord is going to move upon those things and desire to take those stumbling blocks out of our life. Allowing Christ in our life takes on this fleshly part of us. You know, we're quick to blame the devil for everything. You know it? But my Bible tells us some of it is me. Some of those desires are me. And he desires to take these things out. And you see people today, they're running from their problems and running to addictions and greed and violence and selfish purpose and trying to live Christ without Christ. Say amen to that. I believe there's a lot of believers that call themselves believers, but they're trying to live their lives without Christ. Christ is going, not going to work. I'm going to pull you back. I'm going to make you aware of the godly things that are going on in your life. I'm going to make you aware that there needs to be this change of attitude, this change of direction, this change of heart. And if you want to learn it the hard way, I'm going to stay with you. Anybody learned something the hard way? Anybody besides me wish that we would have learned it the first time around and didn't get that spiritual spanking and taken to the woodshed by the Lord because he's given us direction? When you allow more of the Lord in, the more of you is taken out, and the more you can experience the resurrection power of Christ working in your life. The Bible tells us that we're seated with Christ and that the privilege and the honor and the majesty of Christ at work in us allows us to have that power that we're needed. As I close this out, I'm just going to ask you for a moment to just settle yourself before the Lord and let the Lord speak to you these last few minutes. If we really could grasp on who we are in Christ, man, we could set this place on fire. Do you say amen to that? We could set the church on fire. We could set this community on fire. We would have things going on in our lives and our family that would be extraordinary. If we could really grasp the power that is available to a believer, we wouldn't run around defeated. Amen? He makes this comparison of who we were before and who we are to be afterwards. John, 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." The Bible tells us that we can never be good enough. So can you just settle that this morning? If you learn nothing else today, can you settle the fact that you're not good enough? But in Christ you are. In Christ you're more than enough. In Christ, you're more than conquerors. That's what our Bible tells us. So don't live that defeated life and understand that all have fallen short. We're not good enough, but in Christ, we are. Let me end with an illustration and then ask you to respond. I read this about Winston Churchill, and Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. And it was to take place at St. Paul's Cathedral, and it included many hymns and songs, and I would imagine a lot of dignitaries were there to say something about him. But at his direction, at the end of his service, he positioned high in the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral a bugler to do taps. And if you know anything about taps, taps is a universal sign that the day is over. So at the end of his service, he had taps to signal that the end of the day was over. But what made it a dramatic thing, and the thing that caught my attention the most, is that immediately after the taps were done, on the other side of St. Paul's Cathedral, a bugler began playing reveille. "It's time to get up." And I think that's good stuff. We want to think how great we are and all that we can accomplish and all that we can do. If we would only understand that we're great in him and the things that we can do in him and what he desires to do in us and make a difference in our lives and realize that we're damaged. We're damaged. We can't fix ourselves. That's the bad news. But the good news is because of his great love for us, we can be resurrected. We can have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. Only Jesus can do that in our lives. All the good works in the world doesn't save us. All the good works in the world can't put us into a right relationship with God. But here's the thing that troubles me with some, and especially North American churches. If we're saved, if we're in a relationship with God, if the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, why wouldn't we do good things? Why wouldn't we see better results of God working through us? We can't earn salvation, but because of salvation, don't you think we ought to be doing and being kingdom-minded? Think about that. That would change how Christianity works in North America if we would grasp on to that and realize that we're saved by grace, but because we're saved by grace, we ought to be kingdom-minded and watch God do some amazing things. Amen? Father, I thank you this morning. This message was for every single person sitting here, including your servant that brought it, who diligently hides behind the cross each time the word is preached, desiring, Lord God, for you to do something amazing in our hearts. I'm asking, Lord God, as we just look at this verse that basically tells us that we can either be spiritually alive or spiritually dead. We can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, or we could be working things out in our own strength. We could be kingdom-minded or worldly-minded. Lord God, I'm asking today that each one of us would take a moment and reflect on our lives and allow you to do something amazing. Lord God, I know you're raising up some kingdom workers. I know, Lord God, that today that you are desiring casual Christians to move into a committed relationship with you. Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would grip their heart this morning, that they would confess their sins before you, repent of those sins, and accept you into their life, Lord God. The Bible says there's a new name written in glory every time that someone comes to Christ. And Lord God, we're asking for change. Change of heart, change of attitude, whatever's needed, Lord God, that we could accomplish all that we're supposed to accomplish in our lives. Again, may you speak to each one of us, because there is a word for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.